Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to the SmackDown preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Hamflett from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's episode of Friday Night SmackDown. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review SmackDown, but also Raw, NXT 2.0, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views, bloody premium live events, whatever they're called nowadays. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Hamlet to look ahead to SmackDown tonight, a show with literally one thing advertised.
Yeah. If there's one thing I've learned, Wilborn, in the last 24 hours specifically, it's that it turns out that the people do not want earnest, critical analysis. And it's a good job because SmackDown couldn't give us it for trying, could they? We are out, it seems, of the era of SmackDown in the most broadest of brushstrokes.
Bothering.
Being considered like the peak wrestling show of the week, that it exists in some sort of tier separate, not just from WWE's output, but from wrestling's output as at large. And I feel like these previews of late have maybe spoken to that. It is a fun part of our job to be able to talk about these wrestling shows, but it is a helpful part of WWE's to give us things to talk about. We do the bullets, we do the prep beforehand. You do the bullets, I should say, and we get to look at them as prep, myself and Sidgwick. And I was looking at these bullet points, and as I put it to Andy Murray in the office, this is not so much a preview as it is a post-review review.
Yes.
We have to look at the things that happened last week and imagine what might occur. So if that's the case, if we are dealing completely with my like our imaginations, I'd like to flip this up a little bit and put a bullet point to you first before you put yours to me.
Go on.
What might Wendy Chu do on SmackDown tonight? Because goddamn, at least give us something interesting to pontificate on.
Yeah, it's surreal this, because didn't SmackDown last week do a really good number? Granted, that's because we knew it was going to be Roman and Brock interacting with each other. I sense Brock probably won't be on this show. They would have probably mentioned if that had been the case.
He's never a surprise anymore, is he, other than SummerSlam?
No. But you do an amazing number. Surely you just think, well, just hoist some stuff on social media midweek so people have got to look forward to. Whereas it's just Seth Rollins confronts Roman Reigns or vice versa is all they've said is going to happen tonight. Not even advertised any matches.
No, SmackDown does one good number with the, like, Brock Lesnar's still a cheat code wrestler, isn't he? With Vince McMahon using his safest cheat code, and he sits back and he peruses his landscape and he goes, well, that's my $1 billion earned for this 4-year contract. Don't need to worry about the remaining shows. Don't need to worry about the remaining storylines. It's in WrestleMania season.
Yeah.
It's the road to WrestleMania beginning in, what, 2.5 weeks at the Royal Rumble? Staggering lack of effort. I want to talk more about Dynamite. The difference between a show that, and it wasn't just us, pleasingly, that didn't like it. There was a lot of good debate. I worry that I've just fed the trolls at the start of this podcast. There was a lot of perfectly good debate about this Dynamite this week.
Still on Cage Match is one of the worst rated Dynamites ever.
Yeah, right. And not just because of those small men who try and drag progress backwards with their ratings on Cage Match, rigging the numbers. Uh-huh. Yeah, that Dynamite was a poor wrestling show, in my opinion, but it reflected people trying to make a good one. The low effort put into these SmackDowns of late are a different conversation. They are a different debate. WWE need to try when it comes to their billion-dollar wrestling show if they want to regain the adoration that it had in the summer months of 2021. Roman Reigns is absolutely the biggest star in this company. He's absolutely the talking point wrestler, all that sort of stuff. It can't just be Roman Reigns. You know what I mean? It can't just be whatever he's up to and stick around. I don't know. The reason I found myself devolving into a Vince voice there is because I genuinely think that's how these like production meetings go. I cannot see how that many people can gather together into a room and have nothing 12 hours before broadcast. I don't get it.
It's weird, isn't it? Because I am still really excited about this SmackDown. A, because it's only 2 hours rather than three compared to Monday Night Raw. But also, I am invested. Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns is a fascinating prospect for the Rumble. We've talked about this, that they've stumbled in to some epic matches at the end of January. But you can't just go, well, remember when they're in the Shield? Oh, by the way, the video package, if you may have seen this, you know, they're doing like a 30-second thing of like, tonight on SmackDown. Brilliant bit of the video package with a shot of Seth and Roman. I'll tweet this and the Wilborn Mega fans will forgive me.
Of course.
There's a shot with the two of them doing the shield fist thing that basically reads to me as WWE saying, hey, remember when it was Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns? And that was it in the shield? Just those two guys. Don't take notice of the other guy standing there when Roman gets twatted with the chair by Seth Rollins. Who was that guy? I think he was just a fan cosplaying as one of the shield. You know, there is lore. There is history there. So yes, rest on your laurels with that. But you have got, let's be generous, still an hour and a half of a wrestling show to deal with.
Yeah. It's one thing, as you say, to build, I guess. My feeling is they're not going to build it a great deal because of that lore. This is a case of one of the greatest double acts in WWE history, having a Rumble match at WrestleMania. Do you remember when Savage was out of favour and they would talk about the mega power explodes, Hulk Hogan versus nobody? Like the... It's a big thing, and I don't know if they... I don't want to say they need to, because you should always make effort. I don't know if they need to do much more than that for the next few weeks. I think Seth is going to say things like, I know you better than you know yourself. You might be the head of the table on SmackDown, but I was always the architect of the Shield. You know, all that kind of stuff. Roman, in response, can say along the lines of, I was younger than you then. That wasn't such a big issue for you, but I'm younger than you now, and that's a huge problem because I've overtaken you. Mm-hmm. Everything you believe that you would achieve, I have done, and then some. All that kind of, it's not bad material, quite honestly. They will maybe face an uphill climb trying to babyface Seth Rollins for the benefit of this program. He, for anybody that didn't see it, he sort of came out as himself, this
drip god,
Seth freaking Rollins, in his jacket and his funny, his wacky clothes, just dresses at the guy at the wedding that you're not sure whether he should talk to or not. But he beat up the Usos and played to the crowd, albeit in his character. So I think they'll try
in a sort of dark match, this wasn't it, a live show.
And it was either a house show, it was the end of last week's SmackDown taping. I think they'll try and do that. I don't think that they're going to just betray the work they've put into the Seth Rollins character over the last year and a bit. But I do think he'll like lean on some babyface tendencies, maybe a bit of pandering. Maybe the Usos are the key to all this, you know. Maybe Roman will sick them on Seth and he'll beat them from a disadvantaged point. They've separated him perhaps from Kevin Owens on Raw for the good of this angle. You know, they can reunite.
I would like some Usos versus Rollins and Owens stuff though on SmackDown.
Well, as fun as that would be, I think Owens and Rollins had something quite good as heels on Raw, so you risk betraying that if you move them to SmackDown. And
because as much as it, you know, it doesn't follow the basic tenets of good guys versus bad guys in wrestling, seeing two teams, I've mentioned this when we talked about AEW, so it's high praise this, seeing two teams try and out-cheat each other is very entertaining in small doses.
I do like, we had this with the Brock stuff, I love the idea of Owens playing a very long game by getting Seth to do a lot of dirty work. Yeah, we'll get a WrestleMania match. You fight him. I don't need this. Like, the Seth winning that house show thing plus Seth beating Big E clean on Raw leads me to believe that we're going to see him dial back some of the more irritating qualities of this character in an effort to, just for the benefit of the dynamic on the night at the Royal Rumble, I think. I'm not suggesting this is going to be a long-term babyface turn for Seth. It's big. I hope they don't dilute it. I don't want to be a negative Nancy completely, but I hope that we are as hyped on the night as we probably are right now for Seth and Roman Reigns. But they've not gone back to it loads. It's pretty cool.
Outlandish prediction for tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Owens comes out in a flak jacket.
Great. Really good, yeah.
Like, just have Roman be like, oh, yeah, you and I have got a lot of history, but why don't you face Jimmy Uso in the main event? Because that'll keep people sticking around. Jay gets involved. Who on earth's going to come to it? And Roman sat in his office, just feet up watching the match, watching his contender getting battered. And then Owens makes the save. And we have... I'm still holding on to that wonderful Jericho-Owens relationship story that they had many, mm-hmm. many years ago. And I think it. Owens is so good at that. He kissed Seth Rollins, I think, on a live show or something like that.
You can see the bones of that Jericho thing happening again, can't you? I'll give you the same but different in terms of a prediction. How about this? A sort of infamous backstage vignette, although people just don't remember stuff anymore. The content churn has made it so it's harder for people to remember things, so this sort of thing disappears into the mist a little bit. Backstage in Raw, I think it was 2016, Seth and Roman, then babyface friends,
mm-hmm.
battle planning, and who is in the middle, rabbiting on, waffling on, as a rib, because apparently he likes to go into the granular details backstage. What I'm pitching tonight is Roman and Seth having their big confrontation in the ring to be interrupted. Why not stick him in a flak jacket by Sami Zayn?
Yes.
He's like, here's you two big talkers. It's a conspiracy that I'm not in this title match. I've got an Intercontinental title match with Nakamura. I shouldn't have to win the Royal Rumble. I want both belts at WrestleMania, all that sort of stuff. And then for a second, the Shield within Roman and Seth results in them double teaming the two of them. Double teaming Sami, chucking them out the ring, and then they sort of stare at each other. And that's like established that the brotherhood runs deep between the two. And then Roman catches himself and be like, nah, what's this reference? Ah, it's on Know Me, Know You with Alan Partridge when he's interviewing the rock star played by Patrick Marber, who used to work as a photocopy repairman. But he's like, he's trying really hard to embrace the fact that he's a rock star now. And Alan Partridge is like, well, I've actually got this broken photo. Can we wheel it in? And it's a broken photocopier. And then he takes Rockstar up on the stage. And then like the old photocopier repairman gets in. He's like, yeah, it's just, and he messes with the tray and he fixes it. And he goes, you see out there? There's a magnet in there. Hold your paper clips. And then Alan's like, thanks very much. See? It can be really helpful. Yeah, it's a good machine, this. Good machine. Anyway, I don't do that anymore. And he catches himself and he tries to go a rock star again. I want Roman Reigns to just for a second embrace being in the Shield and then realise it and catch himself. Oh, no, I'm not.
A little ooh-ah.
Yeah, and then it's like, nah, that's not me anymore. I'm the head of the table. And then, but Seth's sort of like, I'm in your head.
Yeah.
I'm in your head. I know your weak spot.
Sticking with the bloodline, the Usos' dominance continues on SmackDown. They retained the tag titles in that wild street fight last week. Xavier Woods actually getting injured in that. It looks like he's going to miss the Rumble. He's out for about 4 to 6 weeks, injured himself attempting, or hitting, I should probably say, a DDT in that match. We wish him well in his recovery. Whether or not that had have happened, the New Day feels like have had their chances for now at the SmackDown tag team titles. Are they going to establish in the between now and, what is it, 2 weeks till to the Rumble, another challenger for the Usos, or do you think they're going to be sort of more background players in this Roman Rollins storyline?
That. Absolutely that. An absolute push. You could put the Usos on, not so, I don't even want to say the Rumble undercard, maybe the kickoff. It's a stadium. They sometimes go 2 hours for the big four kickoffs. So they need a bit.
Please don't.
A bit more for the card. So I could see them maybe if they wanted to, but nothing in, 2.5 weeks is going to feel heated enough to belong on that card.
I can't even think of another tag team who's a viable challenger. I mean, like, you got the Viking Raiders, but they literally just lost in like 2 minutes last week.
Yeah. You know, there's Madcap Moss and Happy Corbin, which I guess we'll get to.
Corbin and Shanky, we booked like that last week.
Corbin and Shanky, they haven't come together yet, so we're kind of saving that one. No, I would see them, if they're not defending the title against a random assortment on the kickoff, I would actually expect them to obviously run interference for Roman. But I would just like, the Rumble is so amazing because even bad Rumbles have good moments.
Mm-hmm.
There might be a list coming very soon, coach.com/WWE that highlights 10 specific ones. But good Rumble, even bad Rumbles have good moments. And every character, because there is one objective for every single character, you can apply that to everybody on the roster and you can have a lot of fun. Nobody, I know like there's an element of surprise and random entrants are part of the fun, but regular characters can enter the Rumble for very specific reasons, not necessarily related to pointing at a sign. Roman should be telling the Usos that he's got them both places in the Rumble because it's their job to win it, to protect him. Like, oh, well, yeah, it's going to be really cool, isn't it, Jimmy or Jay, if you win? Because you can then challenge Brock Lesnar and the implication can be, that's me out of trouble.
Yeah.
That's me out of WrestleMania.
That's a good shout.
You know, like that sort of thing. So I would like them both to be in for that purpose, you know, because it's just such an easy detail to apply to them. Otherwise, yes, possibly something on a kickoff. Sorry, Usos. Hair ruffling prediction for you that you get to work the pre-show.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit UH1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Sticking with the Rumble, I'm so jazzed. I get so giddy, no matter how good or bad. And it's not been bad, to be fair, at the start of this year, WWE. No matter how good or bad it is, though, the Rumble always gets me excited. It's either that or the strong fancy coffee that Andy Murray's made for me this morning. It's got me bouncing off the walls.
Shout out to Michael Kohler. That is still keeping us fresh, hydrated and high well into 2022.
So last week, we saw Charlotte Flair declare that she's going into the Rumble, despite the fact that she is SmackDown Women's Champion. So we can assume that it'll probably be some more unbearable promos from her in the coming weeks, but no challengers. What happened last week, of course, is Naomi stepped up and offered herself as a challenger, and they had a really enjoyable match, I thought, if it wasn't for the bloody scheming of Sonya Deville. So related to that, could you see Sonya Deville entering the Rumble, perhaps? I'm just desperate to see her back in a ring on a regular basis, and this storyline is sort of weird, and occasionally they just sort of forget about it for a few weeks. But her, for no good reason as far as I know, just messing with Naomi does have legs, doesn't it?
Yeah, like, it's dragged on too long. This happens a lot in WWE. It's happened with RK-Bro. I was thinking about this. The stories that they drag out, because they're written week to week rather than meticulously plotted, some there'll be elements of plot, but WWE so rarely feels meticulously plotted. It always feels relatively week to week. And very occasionally, you can see a long game. In the case of RK-Bro, and in the case of this, we all thought we saw a long game. And then it felt like both angles missed their peak. But they drag on so long that they kind of find a new peak.
Yes.
They just start like, right at the bottom.
It's funny. It's not funny again. It's not funny. Oh, it's funny again now.
Yeah. And sometimes they get lucky and things just come back around for them at the right time. And that feels a little bit like what's happening with Naomi and Sonya Deville. we all want Sonya Deville back, not least because recently when we got a teaser of her back in her gear and a kind of a new look and updated Deville, you were like, oh, it is coming. You don't get that made just for a bit.
No.
Like, this is happening. This is coming. I love the Rumble as a vehicle for this. I'd love one day if we found out why she was so pissed off with Naomi in the first place. I wouldn't mind that minor character detail that set up a six-month storyline. Deville making herself number 30, potentially great. Deville making Naomi number one, potentially great. Deville doing both as a way to try and keep her as far apart from Naomi as possible, also great. Lots of creative stuff you can do with this. One eliminating the other. Ideally, Naomi eliminating Deville to get like a much-needed bit of comeuppance and on a really big stage to set up a pretty big match for, if not WrestleMania, certainly one of the pay-per-views in between.
And you can have Shayna eliminate her or Natalya or, you know, whatever if you wanted. If you think, well, how do you get Naomi out of there? Well, Sonya's got all these paid stooges that can do that job for her, but you need Naomi to get a bit of agency.
They're taking the Elimination Chamber to Saudi Arabia, so I like can't wait to see a homosexual woman wrestle there. I can't see any reason why that wouldn't happen.
I still remember thinking, why aren't they booking Shayna Baszler in Saudi Arabia? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's why.
That's the deal you've made with the country you've made it with, WWE. So just loads of meat on the bone if they want to do it. To add something else you mentioned there, obviously, as a contributing factor to this, the fact that they've come together on television might just be a complete bit of happenstance because she happened to be in the ring. But I think it's interesting that Charlotte Flair has tiptoed into their orbit as well. I quite like the fact that she missed WrestleMania last year and she realised, I don't need you anymore, and has tried to like avoid bothering this year. Maybe she'll pick her opponent, or maybe if she wins, she'll just take the night off. Like, I quite respect that. It's good in gimmick queen stuff. She's the right champion to pull this stunt, you know? But it's interesting that she was more than happy to be a bit of a hit woman for Sonya Deville. She'd be the one that was in there as a bit of an obstacle to Naomi. So perhaps that pulls Naomi towards the women's title whilst in this conflict with Sonya Deville.
Yeah.
And maybe there's something, you know, it could be something or nothing, but maybe there is something to that.
Sorry to spring this on you. Where's Xia Li? Like, I missed a few episodes of SmackDown over Christmas, but I think one of them was a clip show and one of them was just it's Christmas show, basically. But she came out, she had electricity coming from her hands and stuff, and then I haven't seen much of her since.
So, our street where I live is like six houses. Mm-hmm. They're all semi-detached. So it's like three blocks of semi-detached. And there's a fence at the top. I live quite near a train line, and there's a fence at the top. Now, really, that fence is only near the one house at the top, and it blew down in a big storm, and the guy from the house on every house, and he's like, right, just so you know, that the fence is a shared thing, I've actually got the deeds of the houses here, you're not going to read it, are you? But he's like, I don't mind ringing around and getting the quotes, but it's going to cost this much, and we all have to split it. And I was like, I could read this small print, but I don't know where my deeds are, and you do, and you're in the process of finding quotes. I'm going to let this happen as long as the price isn't too bad. And he's gone and got it done, hasn't he? And the fence isn't as good as the old one.
Oh.
And now we're all kind of needing to pay him. And I think he's a bit of a scary bloke, actually. Well, he's not a wrestling fan, otherwise.
Can you imagine?
And anyway, yeah. So, we're kind of, me and my wife think, oh, we need to get the money for this guy here. But I'm not a big fan of the fence. And if another storm came and blew down this fence, and you had to get it repaired by the guys, because they've only just put it up, I feel like they would have to come back and repair it gratis, because it's like, we expected to stay up longer than this. You've paid a bit extra for the, I don't know, concrete fitting or whatever. To keep the fence in place. What I'm saying is, Xia Li, if you're not needed on SmackDown, can you come and shoot lightning at this inferior fence? Because I want my fucking money's worth. And you're blatantly not getting used on television.
It's like, oh, cool, because they bring her in, they're giving this great build, great interesting
gimmick. The Northeast of England need your magic powers. Because I'm a couple of hundred quid in the hole and I'm not terribly happy with it. We were sort of praising this silliness.
Yeah.
Because why not? You've got, what is it, augmented reality? Is that what it's called?
I've probably
got a title on there. Funny graphics. the woman on Wrestling the Shadows. It's like, Bret Hart's my hero. Why? Because I'm going to college for computer graphics. That woman became Xia Li's personal animator. It was good stuff, wasn't it? I have some bad news for the Xia Li fans.
Uh-oh.
Very bad news. She was working house shows, going 50-50 with Shotzi, which is very much...
Oh, yeah, Shotzi's a thing, isn't she?
SmackDown wrestlers with nothing to do, getting reps in. She's working house shows. Now, don't grimace at the name, the mention of the name, grimace at what this represents. She's currently working house shows with Natalya. Now, for those that Couldn't quite hear that. Wilbon just threw his chair at the wall. But in WWE speak, we know what that means, doesn't it? She's gone on television. Have they looked at her and thought, Jesus Christ, it's another Triple H guy that can't fucking work? Like, has she, as one of the last old-fashioned, in inverted commas, call-ups from Triple H's goddamn stupid indie show, have they seen her throw some kicks aside, don't like her, get her in Italia at the end of the season? It feels very much like what they do with wrestlers who they're not happy with, doesn't it? Could be wrong, could be total speculation, she could be back on the show tonight, but just something to think about, that like that's what she's currently doing is working the loop with Natalia.
Yeah, exactly. I think it speaks volumes. In terms of Happy Corbin...
Oh God, why do you always have to start sentences like that? Every Friday.
Well, I thought we should just have a fun little, one of our little games, because if he's not going to tag with Shanky, someone needs to put him in his place. They just had that throwaway tag match with the Viking Raiders last week, but he's going to be there gloating about what he's done with Drew McIntyre until one would assume Drew McIntyre comes in and kicks his head off, because that's where they're heading. Mm-hmm. Probably at WrestleMania, if I had to guess. So I feel like someone should defend Drew's honour in the interim. Who should it be?
Well, Skip Sheffield. But if he's not around, Slapjack. But if he's not around, can we play a game?
Yeah, should we play the game?
Yes, please.
Because I'm looking at this roster and going, like, if it's me, Ricochet. Maybe have Ricochet win a few times. But that's not going to happen, is it?
We've never named this game, have we?
No, we haven't actually given it a title.
Scroll down for SmackDown.
Right, okay.
Okay.
So usual rules apply. Yeah. The question, once again, who will put Happy Corbin in his place?
Yeah.
Tell me when to stop and then give me a number between 1 to 4 as I scroll around the WWE.com Superstars page for everyone on SmackDown.
Stop.
Okay. And the number between 1 and 3, please.
3, is this? Between 1 and 3?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 3.
Oh, why have you done that?
Who's going to stop Baron Corbin tonight?
Who's going to put him in his place?
Who's going to put Happy Corbin in his place?
Doesn't work because the character he last had on television. But it's the old thing. What do we say as football fans of football teams that are mint, the best football teams we've ever seen, of course, but can be a bit crap occasionally?
It's the hope that kills you.
Mustafa Ali.
Oh, no.
Like, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Just have him come back and be like, yeah, I know I was a bit of a knobhead before, but I'm mint.
Yeah.
He's been doing, like, no-look springboard moonsaults or some mad stuff on social media.
It'd be, like, the easiest thing, wouldn't it? Like, imagine it, like, he could just come out and cut a promo and saying, right, retribution, really sorry, hacking everybody and, like, filming them covertly. I know. Coming out and trying to turn you all on Manso, it's not ideal. And then Corbin and Madcap Moss are in the ring, and then he's like, but those guys.
Yeah.
And then, like, everybody starts chanting, lesser of two evils, lesser of two evils.
It is the, hey, Meg, did you get less ugly of SmackDown?
Yeah.
Because just push Mustafa Ali.
Yeah.
He's great.
I'd quite like to pretend that, like, the last 2 or 3 years didn't happen. And just,
remember when he was at the top of the ladder and he was like, oh, bloody hell, Brock's here. And you were like, yeah, cool, but the briefcase is right there.
Just get that. Yeah. I'd love it. I want WWE to be more, like, take more advantage of the fact that they're so goddamn disposable easy. Do the things that we would criticise AEW for because it just throws away logic. On that show, we want characters to be loyal to the stories that they're telling. In WWE, now it's loyal to out. So have Mustafa Ali come out and just act like he's been the top babyface for the last 3 years. And on night one, and when we're reviewing it on Monday, it'll be a bit, right, this was a bit weird. So Mustafa Ali comes out and the commentator's like, who's that guy? And he goes, WWE Universe, I'm Mustafa Ali, and I'm here to kick ass. And at the Royal Rumble, I'm going to win and cash my check and go all the way to WrestleMania. I've never had a title shot, but I want one, and I'm going to win one. And you're going to be like, Hamflet, what did you make of this? And I was like, WWE's thick, Wilbon. It's the stupidest show in the world. And then next Friday, a week today, you're going to be like, what next, Mustafa Ali? And I was like, I love that debuting star last week on WWE SmackDown. As a member of the WWE Universe, I'm really excited to see what he's going to do.
On the premium live event that is Royal Rumble.
On the premium live event that is the Royal Rumble that we've always called premium live events. I've been watching these premium live events for 32 years. And let me tell you, I don't think anybody's going to make a bigger set. What was his name? Mustafa Ali. I love him. I think they could get away with it. They're the content company.
I,
Is that any more egregious than pretending that you changed the name of your company because of some corporate ethos, not because you were sued into oblivion by a panda? Like, is one worse than the other, really?
Just have him come out and have... His name escapes me right now. On the introductions, say... Oh, Mustafa Ali used to suck, but he don't suck no more now. What's his name?
Michael Rapaport.
Yeah, and I'd be like, yep, okay, fine. I don't care as long as Mustafa Ali gets a push, basically.
Yeah.
Because he deserves it. Finally, another person who deserves a push.
By the way, can we talk about Michael Rapaport for a second?
Go on.
Have you seen Russian Doll on Netflix? Stars Natasha Lyonne. She was also in Orange is the New Black.
Mm-hmm.
She was also in American Pie as the one who pretended she had like loads of experience with sex stuff. She was Tara Reid's mate.
Yes, I know who you're talking
about. Yeah, so like super, super cool. But she had like a mid-2000s period where like big into heroin, tough time, you know, like got through it. Like kind of a Pete Doherty story for anybody that doesn't know her but needs a relatable case. Like you saw him like skinny, needles hanging out of his arm. Now you'll see him, nice big belly, eating a breakfast, doing awesome libertines.
Living his best life.
Yeah, living his best life, doing awesome libertines. Yeah. Natasha Lyonne is cool as, like, so, so cool. Russian Doll's awesome on Netflix. Give it a watch. Anyway, like, she was bad into the crack. I'm talking Phil Mitchell and EastEnders crack. And it was in that nasty time when, like, Gawker and that would, like, use her as a bit of a punching bag. Oh, what a state and all this. Like, not a nice time for celebrity coverage and culture. She had a flat in New York and she had money to burn. Like, well, she had a lot of stuff to burn. Spoons, maybe. But, like, she had money to burn as well. And Michael Rapaport was her landlord. Right?
Oh.
So she wrecks the flat. It's proper train spotting the whole deal. And Michael Rapaport, there's a picture online. Search Michael Rapaport, Natasha Lyonne, landlord. And he's like... Yeah, like, I'm sympathetic to a cause, but, like, absolute nightmare tenant, caused me thousands of pounds of damage. You can kiss my ass, right? She obviously cleans up, like, really happy ending, all sort of stuff. And there's, like, images of them together on a chat show, and it's like, we're cool now. The literal, Natasha Lyonne used to suck, but she don't suck no more. I couldn't believe this. I was just like, you see the two of them together. It's like, yeah, the ruthless aggression era for Natasha Lyonne, not so good, Al. But now, it's all great between
them.
She used to suck, but she don't suck no more.
Right, let's conclude talking about Sami Zayn, as we often do here. He's got an intercontinental title shot, but last week he lost to Rick Boogs. So instead, let's talk about him potentially feuding with Johnny Knoxville as we head to the Rumble. I want Sami Zayn. I love Sami Zayn, and I realise I'm about to book him to look like an idiot on television, but there's hope at the end of all this. Maybe you could give him the money in the bank briefcase like I've booked for the last 4 years. Like... As much as it's going to make him look like a bit of a knobhead, him getting pranked every week by... Even if Johnny Knoxville's not there, we know, hey, Sami Zayn, high five, big hand comes around and just knocks him off his feet. Like, pranks... I'm not a huge fan of internet pranks nowadays because they're all fake. But the jackass...
Are you questioning the integrity of Lad Baby?
The jackass, that sort of thing. Yeah. Like... That'd be great. He's just like, because Johnny Knoxville's probably not going to show up there every week because he's above SmackDown, probably in WWE's eyes. But if you're going to feud with Johnny Knoxville, it should be Sami Zayn going out and cutting epic promos and then not having poo dropped on him. But funny jackass stunts that make me even more excited to watch Jackass Forever when it comes out in February with you two.
Absolutely. I loved... Like the second they came together, I'm sure you had the exact same reaction. I said, of course!
Yes!
Get in! Like, just perfect. Perfect sort of bringing together of characters that you never would have imagined. And the second you do, it's the equivalent of like a really cool AEW match graphic, isn't it? Like, yes! I didn't know I wanted that, and I really want that. Sami's in, pissing about with Johnny Knoxville. Jackass co-promotion stuff, tremendous. Not least because if Nakamura is hurt and potentially... Like, I don't know how injured, but they've had to delay this match.
I'd sit on it till post-Rumble, wouldn't you?
I do what you like with it, man. Nobody cares about the Intercontinental title. I wish they did, but we are where we are with that. In the meantime, jackass stuff. Yes. All of those pranks. All of those daft ideas you come up with. And I feel like I might have nailed the go-home angle for the Royal Rumble and Sami Zayn, right?
Go on.
What have I complained about for months and months and months that I feel like is a thread that is far too loose to my liking? Sami Zayn's conspiracy movie.
Yes!
So... He promotes, remember when he got all dressed up for the Slammies in his tux and stuff?
Aww.
Digs out that tux and he says, ahead of the Royal Rumble, guys, it's finally here. We finished the movie.
We're in Oscar season right now, aren't we?
That's right. It's Oscar season. I've won awards before. I'm going to win some more. And you're all going to see it. You, the WWE Universe, are invited to the screening of Sami Zayn's conspiracy theory movie. And we see him. He's hired out a cinema. He's hired out a theatre, right? Nobody's come.
No.
Sami Zayn, he says, ever the optimist, says, probably a conspiracy. There was no doubt one of them ticket websites that were hacked while people were trying to buy trainers. So I'm sure if they could, they'd buy tickets, but I guess it's just me. That's all right, SmackDown fans, you can watch it with me. And he has to pick one seat in the whole theatre. He can pick anyone he wants, can't he? A, that seat is an ejector seat set up by the cast of Jackass.
With like a, I've seen people do this before with like an airbag from a car underneath it, and they go bloody flying in the air.
So Sami takes an awesome bump off that, and he's, oh God, just play the movie. Down, 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 down. And somebody swapped the reel for Jackass Forever, and that's the go-home angle for
love it.
The Royal Rumble. And he's like, he has to swear vengeance on Johnny Knoxville for the match because they've fucked with his premiere.
And then Knoxville's probably still going to eliminate him.
Yeah.
And then Party Boy's going to have a dance with him.
Yes.
Like, I love it.
Party Boy can meet Rick Boogs.
Yeah. Continue the ball rolling this week that you started last week, because I want to fantasy book this in the coming weeks as we head to the Rumble.
We are. They've had no trouble announcing female legends, stars, whatever. Mm-hmm. People would have been surprises that aren't surprises, I guess, which is great because it means there's
other stuff. No, you've spoiled some. Hooray.
Oh, no. I know. But they've not really done that as much with the men's match, have they?
No.
I hope this Jackass Universe stuff extends, because what I want is for Fandango to make a return. Dirty Kurt himself. One night return. Party Boy to be out there with Knoxville. And them two to do like the double doinks mirror spot with each other. Like have Dango come out in full Party Boy gear. And then like, but instead of just doing the hands like the doinks did, like mirroring thrusts. Like they're doing dance, but they're doing it at the same time, in time with each other.
You know me and my feeling about Royal Rumble dancers, so
yeah.
There you have it. Well, there you go. We've now advertised. We've talked for over half an hour about SmackDown.
We did it again.
Look at this, consummate pros. Let us know your thoughts ahead of SmackDown tonight on Twitter, at WhatCultureWWE on Twitter, as I said. You can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Hanfler at...
Don't put the dis in discourse, but follow me if you want, at Michael Hanfler.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. And make sure you subscribe to WhatCulture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, including on Monday, our review of this show. But for now, this has been the SmackDown preview. My thanks to Michael Hamlet, thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.